Now Saul assembles an army of 3,000 men. 2,000 of those have been with him in Michmash, and the other 1,000 were with his son Jonathan at Gibeah. He sends the other men home, and he goes to Gilgal, where Saul is waiting for Samuel. The Philistines come with their 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. And when Saul sees the Philistines, many of them begin to run and hide in caves and cliffs and cellars and pits and thickets. When Samuel is not there on the seventh day, Saul rushes and offers a burnt offering, hoping for the Lord's blessing. As soon as Saul makes the offering, Samuel arrives. He asks why he has rushed to make the offering and tells him that he has acted foolishly because he has not kept the commandment of the Lord. The kingdom will not endure, Samuel tells Saul. The Lord is looking for a man after his own heart. When they count Saul's men, there are about 600 left. There are no blacksmiths in Israel, so they have to take their plows, their forks, their axes, their hoes to the Philistines to be sharpened for a price of 2/3 of a shekel each. Because Saul has been so slow to move against the Philistine garrison, his son, Jonathan, decides to attack them with his own armor bearer. Jonathan says to his servant, "We will show ourselves to the Philistines. If they say, 'Come to us,' we will know that the Lord has given them into our hands. If they say, 'Stay there,' we will come to you. We will know that it is not the Lord's will that we fight." So when they show themselves, the Philistines tell them, "Hey, come on over here, come with us." And Jonathan attacks and kills about 20 men. An earthquake begins to tremble, and the entire garrison begins to melt away from the camp in fear. Saul sees the garrison as it flees, and he wonders what has happened. He has his men counted, and they are all there except for his son and the servant. Back with the Israelites, Jonathan sticks his staff in a river of honey and eats it. Saul's men are astonished because Saul had sworn that no one would eat until the Philistines are defeated by Saul himself. If a man eats, he will die. When word gets to Saul about Jonathan, he says Jonathan will have to die, but the people stand up for Jonathan and they will not allow Saul to kill him. With that, the Bible tells us about Saul's genealogy, his sons and his daughters. The Lord sends Samuel to anoint Saul and tells him to destroy Amalek and every living thing associated with him. Saul takes 200,000 soldiers and 10 men from Judah to set the trap for Amalek in the valley. Saul tells the Kenites to flee from the area, and they do. And Saul captures Agag, the Amalekite king, and destroys all his people. But he spares Agag and the best sheep and all the valuable things. The Lord is disappointed with Saul's disobedience, and he tells Samuel, who grieves all night long. And the next morning, Samuel goes to Saul, who is excited to see him because he thinks the Lord is pleased with his victory. "Why do I hear the sound of the bleeding of sheep?" Samuel asks. The people kept the best to offer the Lord," Saul replies. "You have disobeyed the Lord," Samuel says, and Samuel turns to walk away, but Saul grabs Samuel's robe and he tears it. And Samuel says, "Saul, your kingdom will be torn from you and given to your neighbor." Saul begs Samuel to follow him in worship, and Samuel agrees. At the altar, Samuel calls for Agag, and Agag arrives, thinking all is well, but Samuel takes a sword and cuts him into pieces to fulfill the order of the Lord. "The Lord is more pleased with obedience than sacrifice," Samuel tells Saul. "The Lord has rejected you as king." Samuel leaves Saul. The Lord directs Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint a son of Jesse as king. Samuel is fearful that Saul will hear the news and kill him. "Take a cow and a horn of oil and sacrifice it," the Lord says to Samuel. And when Samuel enters Bethlehem, the people ask him if he is coming in peace. Samuel says yes, and he is then invited to Jesse's house, and his sons are there so that he can consecrate one of them. Samuel looks at the oldest boy, but he is not the Lord's choice. He looks at the other 7 sons, and they are not the Lord's choice either. "Is there another son?" Samuel asks. Jesse says, "Yes, David, the youngest." When David arrives, the Lord tells Samuel that he is the one. with David's anointing, an evil spirit haunts Saul. He enters the state of a deep depression. Only music brings Saul a sense of comfort, and so his men recommend that he enlist the services of David, a young, skillful musician, as well as a man of valor, a warrior, and a prudent speaker, and he is also handsome. Saul calls for David, and Jesse delivers him with a load of bread and a jug of wine. And David's music comforts Saul, and he has David stay with him to play the harp and to refresh him with song. Saul's camp is in the valley of Elah, while the Philistine camp is at Soko in the territory of Judah. And during the day, the Philistines will stand on the mountain on one side of the valley of Elah, while the Israelites stand on the other side ready for battle. Goliath, the Philistine champion, 9 feet 9 inches tall, with a bronze helmet, armor that weighs 125 pounds, his spear weighs 15 pounds, and he's accompanied by a man carrying his large shield in front of him. Goliath taunts Saul to send one man to fight him, and the people of the winner will serve the loser. Goliath's challenge greatly disturbs Saul. Jesse, very old when Goliath taunts Saul, has his oldest 3 boys in Saul's army, and he's worried about them. They are Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. David does not serve in the army, but travels back and forth from tending Jesse's sheep to play music for Saul, and the Israelite camp is less than 5 miles from Jesse's home. For 40 days, Goliath taunts Saul, but no one takes Goliath's offer of battle. And on the 40th day, Jesse sends David with 1/2 bushel of roasted grain and 10 loaves of bread to his 3 brothers. He also sends 10 portions of cheese to King Saul. As David arrives, the Israelites have gathered for battle, and David leaves the packages with the keeper and runs to the front line just as Goliath makes his daily taunt. "What will be done for the man who kills Goliath?" David asks. Saul promises him riches and his daughter in marriage, as well as freedom for the victor's family. "Who is this Philistine that he should taunt the army of the living God?" David says. His words make Eliab, his oldest brother, angry. And so Saul hears of David's challenge, and David tells Saul not to worry, for he will fight Goliath. Saul tells him he cannot because he's just a youth, but David insists. They dress him in Saul's armor, but it's too heavy. Instead, David dresses as a shepherd boy, enters the valley of Elah, and gathers 5 smooth stones. He strikes Goliath between the eyes with a single stone from his slingshot, and then he cuts off Goliath's head. When David finishes his report with Saul, Jonathan and David become best friends at once. Jonathan, Saul's son, puts his complete armor on David to show his heart for David. When David travels for Saul, the people are in awe, saying, "Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000s. And this saying makes Saul extremely angry with David. The next day after killing Goliath, Saul is so angry with David that he hurls his spear at him twice. David barely escapes being pinned to the wall. Fearful of David, Saul puts him in charge of his armies, hoping he will die in battle. However, David excels in his duties as commander, and all of Judah loves him, causing Saul's anger to burn greater. To fulfill his promise to David, Saul offers Merab to be David's wife. David humbles himself by saying, "Who am I that I should be the king's son-in-law?" Therefore, Saul gives Merab to Adriel as a wife. However, Saul's second daughter, Michal, loves David, so Saul offers her to him. He does not have the money to pay for the dowry, so David declines. But Saul replies that he only wants the foreskins of 100 Philistines as the dowry. And that pleases David, and he takes his men, and they kill 200 Philistines and deliver their foreskins to Saul. With Michal as his wife, David begins his service as commander of Saul's army. And from that day on, he grows in wisdom, and the people love him. As David's popularity grows, so does Saul's hatred. And Saul tells Jonathan and all his soldiers that he wants David dead. Jonathan tells David to hide in a secret place while he goes to speak with Saul in the field. When Saul does not respond well to Jonathan's plea, Jonathan reminds Saul of what David has done for Israel by killing Goliath. Saul changes his heart, and Jonathan brings David into Saul's presence as before. War breaks out with the Philistines again, and David leads the victory over them, making Saul mad. While David plays his harp for Saul, he hurls a spear at David again. David barely gets away. He flees from Saul and returns to his home with Michal that night. Saul sends messengers to watch for David at his home, and Michal finds out about them. She says to him, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be put to death." So David flees. Michal takes the household idol and puts it in the bed with a goat's hair blanket around its head. And after the men search the house, they find the idol in David's place in bed, and they tell Saul of the deception. Now Saul questions his daughter, but she lies to her father. She tells Saul that it was David's idea so he could save Michal from death at the hands of the men. David runs over to Ramah, where he finds Samuel, and from there the two travel to Naioth to stay. Someone tells Saul, and he sends men to get David. The Holy Spirit enters into the men, and they begin to prophesy. So Saul sends another group, and they do the same, as well as a third group. So Saul decides to go himself, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he begins to prophesy. And all the people see this and wonder if Saul is now a prophet too. Saul lays naked before Samuel, prophesying all day and all night. Saul's distraction by the Holy Spirit allows David time to escape and return to Jonathan. David is bewildered, and he asks Jonathan what he has done to cause Saul to hate him. David tells Jonathan that he knows he is only a step between life and death as long as Saul is seeking him. So Jonathan asks for advice for what to do, and David presents a plan. The new moon is the next day, and it is time for the yearly sacrifice. David is supposed to be at Saul's table, but he is not going to be there. If Saul asks why David is not there, Jonathan is to tell him that he had asked for time to go see his own family and his own father. Jonathan tells David to wait in the field and hide there, and he will come after he's spoken with Saul, and he will shoot an arrow and have a servant retrieve the arrow. If David hears Jonathan say, "The arrows are on this side of you," David will know that all is well and he can come back to Saul and return with Jonathan. If he hears him say, "The arrows are beyond you," then David will know that Saul is still seeking David's life and the Lord is sending David away. And on the first day of the new moon festival, Saul sits in his normal position on the wall and David's seat is empty. He does not say anything that day, but on the second day he asks Jonathan about David, and he replies to Saul just as David and Jonathan had planned. Saul is furious with Jonathan and says, "You perverse son of a rebellious woman." He orders his men to find David and put him to death. In the field, Jonathan shoots the arrow and sends the lad to retrieve it. "Is not the arrow beyond you? Hurry, be quick, do not stay," Jonathan says. The lad returns with the arrow, and Jonathan sends him back to the town. And in the field, Jonathan and David come together and they weep, but David weeps more. "Go safely," Jonathan says. And they agree and make a covenant between each other and their descendants. And Jonathan goes back to his city, and David flees to Nob. David with his men are in Nob, where Abimelech is the high priest. They are hungry, and they ask the priest for bread. He doesn't have any bread except for the show bread that's just been removed from the table and replaced with new hot loaves. But they cannot have this bread if they've been with women, that because they are unclean. But they assure the priest that they've not been with women, so the priest gives them the show bread to eat. Others are there, and especially one man by the name of Doeg the Edomite, and David sees him. David asks if there are any weapons, and Ahimelech gives him Goliath's sword. It belongs to him. He killed Goliath with the sword. So David takes the sword, and he flees to Achish, to the king of Gath. The servants of Achish wonder why he has befriended David, because David has slain 10,000s, and Saul has only slain thousands. When he hears the word of the people, David is afraid, and he acts like an insane man. He begins to let saliva run down his beard. Achish will not allow him to stay as a lunatic in his house, so he runs David off. David leaves Nob and hides in the cave of Adullam. Now his father's household, as well as anyone who's distressed and discontented and indebted, they gather in the cave with David. There's about 400 in all. And David goes to Mizpah to ask the king of Moab if he and his family can stay in a stronghold there. The king agrees, but Gad the prophet comes to David and tells him to return to Judah. So David returns to the forest there in Judah. Saul hears that David is near, and while they are speaking about it, Doeg the Edomite tells Saul that he's seen Ahimelech with David. And Ahimelech was helping David, and it makes Saul mad, and he calls for Ahimelech and all his family. And upon arriving, Saul orders them all killed, but no one will raise a sword against the priestly family in spite of Saul's order. Saul orders Doeg to kill them, and he does. 85 priests in all. He then goes to Nob and kills all the men, women, children, oxen, donkey, and sheep. One son of Ahimelech, Abiathar, flees to David to tell him of Saul's rage. David said, "I knew when I saw Doeg at Nob that day he would tell Saul." And so David invites Abiathar to stay with him because there's no place else safer for him than with David and his men. David hears that the Philistines have attacked Keilah down by the threshing floor, and he asks the Lord if he should go help Keilah, and the Lord says yes. However, David's men don't think that they should go, and they don't think it'll be safe, so David asks the Lord again, and he receives the same answer. And so they go to Keilah, and they slaughter the Philistines, and they take all their livestock, and they capture it. Saul hears that David is in Keilah, and he summons his men to go to war with David there. And David hears that Saul's men are coming, and so he puts on the ephod that Abiathar would carry around, and he prays to the Lord. And the Lord tells David that the men of Keilah will turn him and his men over to Saul. So David and his 600 men escape into the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul continues to seek to capture David every day. Jonathan joins David at Horesh in the wilderness of Ziph and assures David that Saul will not find him there. They renew their covenant before Jonathan returns home. Some Ziphites tell Saul that David and his men are hiding in Horesh, and Saul asks them to search out their hiding places and report it to him. David moves his men to the wilderness of Maon, and the Ziphites report that to Saul, who pursues David there. On his way, though, a messenger tells Saul that the Philistines are raiding the land, so Saul turns to fight against them instead of pursuing David. That place David's men now call the Rock of Escape because Saul was right upon them before the Philistine diversion. David moves the whole group on down to the stronghold of En-Gedi. After attacking the Philistines and beating them back, Saul returns to his pursuit of David. And at the sheepfold, Saul needs to relieve himself, so he enters into a cave. Unbeknown to him, David and all his men are hiding in the cave. The men tell David that the Lord has delivered the king into his hands, and they want to kill the king, but David will not let them. David slips up behind the king and cuts off the hem of his robe. When Saul leaves the cave, David runs after him and shows him the hem of his robe that he has cut off. He pleads with Saul that he has been faithful, and wants him to know that he will always be faithful and loyal to the king and will never seek to do the king any harm. Saul weeps. He says, "You are more righteous than I." Saul asks David to swear that he will never destroy him and any of his father's household, and David swears and makes the promise. Saul goes home, and David returns to the stronghold. Now, Samuel dies, and they bury him in his hometown of Ramah. And all of Israel mourns.